Hi there, and thanks for tuning in. I'm recovering from the flu, and that gives me some time to work on podcasts. That's my life, folks. But as the days are winding down toward the busy holiday season, I've been giving some thought to Advent and ideas for ensuring that Christmas, or whatever holiday you celebrate, and the time leading up to it is meaningful and not just bustle and stress. So stay tuned for some tips for how to make Advent meaningful and to save stress on the holidays, no matter what holiday you are celebrating. And we will also welcome author Anne Kennedy to give us some wisdom, nuggets of wisdom, such as thoughts on mean cleaning, true hospitality, and serving others in the holiday season. Welcome to Canada Homeschools, the dose of inspiration and encouragement for Canadian homeschoolers. Canada Homeschools features interviews with homeschool group organizers, resource suppliers, and conversations with everyday homeschoolers just like you, all from a Canadian perspective. I'm your host, Rowan Atkinson. I'd like to thank you for joining me. Now let's get started.
In 400 meters. In 100 meters.
You have reached your destination.
Again, welcome, and thanks so much for tuning in to the Canada Homeschool Podcast. I'm Rowan Atkinson, as you heard, and I'm your host. Can you do me a favor? Can you please put down in the comments, either on our webpage or on your podcasting app, what holidays you celebrate, and maybe some traditions that you like to enjoy with your family during the holiday season? The lonely thing about podcasting is that you don't really know who is listening or where they're coming from. I can assume you're a homeschooler or considering homeschooling and that most of you are Canadian. With an Advent podcast, you may not be a homeschooler and you just may want some tips on how to celebrate Advent in a meaningful way. We do have listeners from all over, some of you from the United States. Welcome. But I don't really know if you are a humanist, Christian, Muslim, if you're Jewish, Hindu, or otherwise. My goal is to help Canadians and homeschoolers, but as we head into the holidays, I just can't help but think about how to celebrate them without absolutely burning ourselves out. And you know that I have been the poster child for burnout in the past. Go ahead and share your traditions, as I said in the comments. And I am looking forward to bringing on Anne Kennedy a little later on to talk about mean cleaning, true hospitality, and other nuggets of wisdom, like I said in the introduction. So maybe you've wondered about Advent and what it means. Your nerd fact for today is that Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, that means coming or arrival. So in the month of December, Christians look forward to celebrating the arrival or coming of Jesus as Savior in his incarnation as a baby. There will be a second Advent as well, in which he arrives as Lord to make everything right and beautiful and good. For many of us, Advent reminds us of those little calendars that have a chocolate for each day leading up to Christmas. Sometimes, in all the trappings and busyness of the season, we can lose sight of whatever it is that we're celebrating, and we stress ourselves out. Here are some tips to make sure that this doesn't happen, and to make sure that your holidays are meaningful. Number one, the first tip is that it's okay and even good to say no. Leave space in your schedule for reflection and peace as opposed to filling every square. One of the reasons we overschedule is because we're trying to please everyone. Take a moment to hone in on your priorities this season and build around that. So if you take a blank calendar and you put in priorities and you put in times of peace or just being home, having some hot chocolate, being cozy, put those in first, and then you can schedule other things around it. And that's a way to help you have peace and reflection time and some margin in your life and not be overscheduled and not trying to please everyone. And I've shared this before in other Christmassy episodes that I used to make like full meals for Christmas Eve, but we had service on Christmas Eve and my husband is a pastor and we are quite involved. Usually I'm singing on the worship team that night and I had overnight guests, extended family members, and so I would make this meal and stress myself out and exhaust myself. And then over the years, I've just learned to order pizza or have some simple chili in the crock pot and not try to make it all Christmassy for Christmas Eve when we're not even all necessarily sitting down to eat because we're on the run. So just simplify and think about how you can make life easier for yourself. Tip number two is, as you incorporate music into your holiday season, and this falls into the making it meaningful category, consider carols that are hymns or spiritual as opposed to the commercialized Santa songs. Music is really a powerful vehicle to carry messages into our hearts. So choose music with the message of Advent to reinforce the meaningful things that you're trying to reinforce. Number three is one of my favorites, and that is consider giving charitable gifts on behalf of recipients instead of always material gifts. There are many folks who have everything they need or who would find such a gift to be meaningful. Some of my favorites are International Justice Mission, where you can actually help rescue and rehabilitate victims of human trafficking. Compassion International is another one. You can help a family start a business, for example, or something you may not have thought of, but if you have had a loved one pass away in the setting of a local hospice, you'll understand what a good thing that a hospice does because they really make it a place where the whole family can come. There's always soup on and food in the kitchen and games for kids to play, and the rooms are big enough that the whole family can gather and they're welcome to gather, unlike a hospital. So a local hospice serves those who are close to death and their families in a dignified and compassionate way. And many of them are in need of fundraising, and you can give a gift, a donation in honor of a person who is still alive or in memory of someone who has passed away. So that is another charitable giving that can benefit lots of people. And it's very meaningful. So consider giving charitable gifts on behalf of your friends and family. The fourth tip is to use visual aids, such as Advent calendars, a wreath, candles, or other object lessons to illustrate the significance of Advent in a similar way as you would use a menorah for celebrating Hanukkah or dreidels or things like that. So object lessons, as you know, as a homeschooling parent, are a great way to illustrate a point and to help kids learn the significance of what you're trying to celebrate. So a really fun place to get these kind of things for a reasonable price is Etsy. I found some printable cards with the names of God with scripture verses designed for Advent. So each day of the month of December, you just pin it up and then you turn it over on that day and has the name, a name of God or a role that he plays in our lives and in history, and a scripture verse to go with it. So I'll link that below on the website page or in your app. My final tip is obvious to you, a homeschooler, but it is to use literature, such as picture books at bedtime or as you gather around the table, that are themed towards Advent. I've invited the winning author of our Nana's Knee Writing Contest, to pop into the podcast, as I said, and share some thoughts and wisdom on Advent and preparing our hearts. Anne Kennedy. Before she pops in, I just want to share a quote from Anne Voskamp, the author of 1,000 Gifts and The Greatest Gift. Quote, "In this day, this season, miracles will grow within, unfurl, bear fruit. And the heart that makes time and space for him to come will be a glorious place, a place of sheer radiant defiance in the face of a world careening mad and stressed. Because each day of Advent, we will actively wait. We will wait knowing that the remaking of everything has already begun." So that's a quote from The Greatest Gift by Anne Voskamp. Welcome, Anne. Thank you so much for popping into the podcast today. I know that Advent is a topic very dear to your heart, and so I'd like to ask you, was Advent something your family focused on when you were a child, or is it something you've adopted more recently with your own family?
So I would say that growing up, my brother and I always had a chocolate Advent calendar, and we had to share it. So I remember always having a little bit of a fight over who would get to open one, because we alternated days and one would also get 25, and 25 was the big chocolate. So my earliest memories of the word Advent have to do with the chocolate Advent calendar. And I wouldn't say that my parents did anything specific related to the Advent season and kind of that lead up, but I would say they did a great job of always making sure that we were focused on the true meaning of Christmas and weaving components of that into those preparations for Christmas. I think when I think back to childhood Christmases, I remember a lot of serving others. And I was just thinking about this the other day, and like 1 year or a couple of years, I think we went to the local hospital and we would like just do caroling with a little group of people and just go from room to room. And that was so neat, like these older people, younger people, just people who were not well, right? And having to be there and being able to kind of bring that joy to them, and making up baskets for people who were stuck in their homes and couldn't get out, or people who were lonely and didn't have other family, and getting our shoe boxes for Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child, all packed up and ready, and just visiting neighbors and other people. And so, you know, our focus was, as a family, I think was great in kind of serving others and the focus on giving and that kind of theme over and above, being too heavily focused on the whole deal with presents and gifts and stuff. And I remember a couple of presents from when I was a kid, but mostly I just remember, you know, those feelings and those events and things that we did that were related to serving other people. Christmas morning, we always read the Christmas story before we opened presents. And it might not seem like a big deal to, you know, read a couple of pages from the Bible, but my parents taught us that was the priority, right? Like there was an order and a priority that Jesus was first on Christmas, and then the other stuff was, you know, part of the fun celebration, but not the priority. And so that has carried over into, you know, raising my own family and wanting to make sure that we keep Jesus at the priority. And we always read the Christmas story before doing gifts on Christmas morning. And yeah, I think it's just important to keep that in focus. I remember talking to a friend that I went to elementary school and high school with years ago. I just ran into her one day. This was actually around Easter. And she said to me, "Oh, I'm so excited for Easter coming up," because our kids were younger then. She said, "So excited because my son finally gets it, Easter." And I said, "Oh, what do you mean by like he gets it?" And she said, "Well, you know, like he's excited for the Easter bunny and he always gets a present on Easter morning. So he's excited for all of that." And nothing wrong with Easter bunny or gifts, but I just felt sad that that was, you know, their family's definition of getting what it was all about at Easter time. And I think that story really stuck with me, and I just thought, I want to make sure my kids actually get it, like these important Christian milestones and these events and what all of it is really about, so that that's never lost on them. another thing that I think has in, sort of inspired me this year to make Advent a bigger part of our family's preparations for Christmas is that I've been reading, trying to read through the Bible myself a little more consistently. And that's always been a bit of a struggle for me to do that consistently. But I'm using a study called the Bible Recap right now, which has, you know, you read a couple of chapters from the Bible, and then there's this recap that puts it into more sort of plain language and talks about what are we learning from God in this point. And it's helped me to really see the big picture and how all these people are related and how God protected those families and that lineage that Jesus would come from. And you see this, you know, the Bible as one big story instead of all these isolated events that maybe you've learned about individually. And so I was thinking, you know, and thinking about that as similar to wanting my to do this Advent preparation with my kids, is I want them to see the big story. So starting from creation until Jesus' birth and all those events, those key moments that were preparing the world for this event to happen. So that they, you know, the Christmas story is a beautiful story, but it's not a story in isolation. It's just part of this big, amazing story. So that's what's inspired me this year to make Advent a little more prominent in December as we prepare for the season.
I love that. We would bring out the nativity scene in, like, put it out at night so that Christmas morning, that would be what the focus was. And even over the years, as our figurines got broken or were old, because they were my husband's grandparents' figurines, we would just insert Fisher-Price little people into the scene and the kids could act it out while we were reading from the Bible. We always, like your childhood, we always read the Bible with our children first thing. That was first and the most important thing. And then we went from there. I wasn't really great with Advent probably while I was raising my kids. I was just too busy getting the house ready and the cooking ready, because I hosted Christmas for all of my extended family every year and overnight guests and so on, and still homeschooling and, you know, trying to do everything. So I think we were really great about making it about Christmas, about Jesus, but not organized enough to be having like each day something or other. But, but one year I used, as you were saying about that thread throughout all of scripture, I looked up a lot of the prophecies in the Old Testament that were fulfilled in Jesus. And so each day we would pull out, I got these little tiny gift bags from IKEA. They're like really mini. And so I had enough of them and I put them up with clothespins, and each bag had a scripture in it that was a prophecy that was then fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So thinking about his coming and even his return. So that's sort of one theme similar to what you're talking about that we used one year.
Yeah. And there's, I'm always so, well, I shouldn't say always, mostly usually thankful for the internet when it comes to finding resources. Like, you don't have to create your own Advent curriculum, right? You can find things that are already in existence. And I did a pretty lengthy internet search to find something that I thought would be manageable and doable for our family this season. I know I found some at the beginning and they had like 84 pages of a PDF, and I was just like, nope.
I think I saw that one too.
Yeah, I'm sure it's wonderful, but like your family, we're a busy family. We're out most evenings of the week at some activity or event, and to be just realistic about it, I wanted to try and find something that was doable. So I found something that it's very sort of easily, clearly laid out, and it's just day by day, and we've decided we'll do just right before the kids go to sleep, kind of as a kind of their bedtime story time, a devotional each day. And the way this one's structured is each day there's like a main point and a discussion point and a scripture reading, but it has options for whatever kind of Bible you're using with it. So it'll have, you know, on day one, for instance, if you're using the Jesus Storybook Bible, the story's on page 20 or whatever like that, right? Or if you're using Jesus Calling Storybook Bible. So it has the exact page number for like multiple children's Bibles that people are generally probably using to go along with this. So it's a lot of the work is already done, which I love, and my kids love the Jesus Storybook Bible. So we're going to be working through that each day in December, and I think that's really going to help the kids focus on Advent in that way, because my daughter bought herself this year with her birthday money a Barbie Advent calendar, which was quite pricey, and she's, you know, counting the days till December 1st on Friday when she gets to open that. And she was talking about it the other day, and I just said, you know, do you know what Advent, you know, is really what that word means? It's about arrival and talking about that. And I sort of explained, you know, that the whole point of Advent is remembering that Jesus arrived, right, as a baby that first Christmas, that he came to rescue the world. And we celebrate Advent to remember that, but we also are looking forward and in hope and anticipation for that second arrival, for when Jesus comes again and everything is made right. And she's, you know, thinking about it, and she's eight, and she said, okay, so she said, like, the way I see it is that God has given us like these calendars with like Barbies and chocolates to remind us that like he is giving us all good things, and that we should be thankful for good things in life. And you know, it was like a simple understanding for her, but it was just a cute kind of in her like interpretation of what I was saying, that there's this biblical story, right, and we're doing those things. But she was just interpreting it all as, you know, these calendars, which she knows are just fun and toys or whatever, are we can attribute even things like that to God's goodness, because they know that all good things come from him. So that was kind of a nice conversation.
Yes, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, yeah. Right? So,
and I think, you know, as my kids are getting older, they're 11 and 8, they're, unfortunately, I guess their understanding of the world is growing, and that they're becoming like more aware of the bad things that are out there, right? And some of the darkness in the world. And my 8-year-old specifically, she like asks me a question about war every day, because she's hearing about war in Ukraine and war in Israel. And she's like, you know, will Canada ever be in a war? And who has to go if there's a war? And who would be on our side? And who wins in a war? And I said, like, nobody wins in a war. And so she has all these questions, right? And so to be able to say to your kids, one day when Jesus comes back, there will be none of that. No war, no hurt, no pain, none of that. And to have that hope, which I think, you know, Advent is this season of looking forward to that time, and that hope that we have, that we just don't have in anything else. There's no true, you know, peace, love, joy, hope outside of God in our lives. So to be able to give that gift to our kids, I just always think, you know, how do people who don't have that reassure their kids about, you know, what is to come? So
yeah, and he's the light of the world, right? And peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And we don't see everything that he's going to do in his first advent. We have to wait for the other half of everything to happen at his second advent. And I love that, because we don't always think about the second advent. But I feel like the way the world is going these days, we're thinking about it more and more, and hoping and longing and looking forward to it.
Yeah, in the same way that people, you know, a couple thousand years ago were hoping and longing for the promised Messiah, we're there as well. The work's been done, but we're, you know, looking forward to that time when all things are new and right. And I just think that's such a nice thing as a parent, to be able to, you know, talk about with our kids and reassure them. And that, you know, even during this life, when circumstances are not great or ideal, that we can still experience peace and love and joy and hope, because we have God's Spirit living in us. So.
Mm-hmm. It's like healing. We may get our healing here and now, but if we don't, we know we'll get our healing later.
Yeah.
So, and if you could sum up your best advice for busy parents for the holiday season, what would it be?
I would
It
say
doesn't
that
have to be only one sentence.
Yeah, I've spent considerable time thinking about this probably every Christmas as it rolls around. How can I do it in a less crazy way this year? So in a word, if I had to answer that with a single word, it would be simplify. I pick two words, maybe simplify and serve. And just holding traditions and expectations loosely. I think, our world and its crazy times in the last few years have taught us that traditions can change unexpectedly and that we can still focus on the important things and make things happen even if things look a little different. And I think sometimes we get a little bit caught in, we have to do this because we've done it every year, and that's not true. We can make new traditions, we can adjust our traditions, and as families change and dynamics change, I think it's wise to be able to be a little bit flexible in all of that, and just keeping in mind, like, whatever the actual objective is more important than how everything looks. And I think, again, expectations, I don't think I could count on one hand, as in I don't know if I could tell you a single day in my life where I could say everything has gone absolutely perfect, nothing went wrong, everything was perfect, right? And yet I think a lot of us approach Christmas thinking, a Christmas day or that Christmas dinner or that particular event. It's like, even though we probably know somewhere deep inside that it won't be perfect, we have that expectation. And then anything different than that perfection can feel like a disappointment or discontentment. And so I think keeping expectations reasonable about the people you're celebrating with and the events that you're participating in is wise advice. I was thinking about this earlier too, and just thinking, if I can try myself to keep, everyday life, but also especially around Christmas, more about the people than the performance, because Christmas can be sort of this like pressured performance and the spectacle of it all, right? To have your house perfect and the meal perfect, and I know sometimes I am guilty of doing what I call like mean cleaning if I have people coming and I'm not always as nice to my family as I should be when I'm stress cleaning.
We've all done that.
And I think, if I want my kids to remember Christmas as a time of joy and celebration and love and Jesus, and I'm just like running around the house mean cleaning, that's not actually accomplishing the objective that I want to accomplish. So I feel like I had this success moment back in the fall this year when we had relatives visiting from Florida who were staying with my in-laws just down the road from us. And one night I was home with the kids and my husband was out at a church meeting. And the kids said, "Mom, we should have everybody up for dinner." Just like spur of the moment. It was probably 6 o'clock. And I said, A, they've probably already eaten. B, I don't have anything prepared to feed them for dinner. And so they said, "Well, let's have them up just for like dessert or a visit." And I thought, that's a good idea. And then I looked around my house and there's unfolded laundry on the couch and I didn't have anything like ready for dessert or made for dessert. And so I slowly started talking myself out of inviting family up for a visit, but just then sort of paused and thought to myself, what's the objective here? Am I trying to show them how good I am at making dessert? Am I trying to prove that I'm an excellent housekeeper? Or is the point to have a visit and build relationships and have time with family? And so after that pep talk with myself, I drove to the end of our road that has a little variety store, and I bought a 2-liter bottle of root beer, a tub of vanilla ice cream, got my kids to run the laundry from the couch into a bedroom and close the door, and called my family and said, "Come on up for a visit." And they came up and we had root beer floats and it wasn't fancy. Everyone seemed to enjoy it and we had a great visit. And nobody came to see, if my laundry was folded or how good I was at making dessert. It was just about the visit. And as a sort of like raging perfectionist, which I kind of consider myself, who's trying not to be so much. So, that was like a success story for me to be able to just make it about the people, set perfection aside and build relationships and invite those people in and be hospitable. And it was a great night and a great visit. And I'm so glad I didn't talk myself out of it because things weren't perfect. So that's the sort of my, I guess, mantra this year is like, simplify. It's okay if everything isn't perfect. It's about the people, not the performance. And just to remember, keeping in mind, you know, what's the objective of these events and things that we're going to and hosting. And then I do think that being focused on serving others helps us. It just helps us. I mean, God tells us to love God and love others, and he wouldn't tell us either of those things if they weren't good for us, right? And so it's hard to love others well if you are self-focused. And so I think, you know, being a little less self-focused and focusing on serving others and being sensitive and mindful of the fact that Christmas can be a wonderful, joyful time of year for some and a really hard time of year for other people, and paying attention and listening and being kind of in tune with who those people might be in your circle of influence and making sure to check up on those people and, you know, celebrate the good stuff, but also come alongside people who are maybe struggling during the season and all of the events as well. So that's a long answer, but yeah, simplify and serve, I think, sums up those two sentiments.
Thanks for that. I was thinking last year, you just reminded me when you were talking about your laundry on the couch and having people over anyway. So last year I had a Christmas party for the ladies in my church at my new, not quite finished home, which was fine. And you know, I had the appropriate doors closed that needed to be closed. And the part where everyone was, you know, pretty good. And then the person who was organizing the games for the party, she asked me for my oven mitts. And I had that moment of, you know, I don't know about all of you listening or you, Anne, but usually oven mitts, if they're used at all, have like burn marks in them and like some kind of stain or, you know, they're. And I really didn't want to let her use my oven mitts for this game, which was unwrapping presents while wearing oven mitts. But then I thought, you know what? Like, I do like to be a very real person, very authentic. And I just was like, you know what? These are oven mitts of shame. And I held them up and I said, who here also has a pair of oven mitts of shame? And every single person put their hand up. And then I kind of felt a lot better and we all laughed. And then we carried on with our game and it was great fun with my oven mitts of shame. And I still have them and I haven't replaced them yet. But yeah, there's always something, right, that we put an emphasis on that really doesn't matter. So I'm glad that you brought that up because it's really about the relationships, right?
I mean, Jesus came not to perform or show off or in a spectacle. He came quietly, humbly for people to build relationships with people, right? And I think we lose some of that sometimes in the spectacle of the season, and just remembering that and doing what we can to just look after others and look after each other and keep his truth at the center of the season. Is it's no easy task in the midst of all those other things that we have going on, but I think that's we have the most sort of peace and joy in the season when we do those things well.
I like what you said about the fact that traditions can change and they can be different and we don't always have to do things the same way. So for decades, we've hosted Christmas and we had the biggest house and we had the little kids. So it was fun for our, like my brother and sister-in-law who don't have kids to come Christmas Eve and go to church with us and then stay overnight and then be with the kids while they're opening their presents and things like that. But now our kids are all in their 20s and I still think they're cute, but you know, the relatives are starting to venture toward other homes for Christmas morning because there are cute little nieces and nephews that are little. My sister has a son turning 3, so traveling is not so great. And on and it sure changes a lot. So now we're at the point where we probably will have to travel for Christmas after all the years of hosting, and that's fine. We don't mind. But one thing that that has opened up for us is, and it looks like even Christmas Day is not going to be the day that we're all getting together because it doesn't work out with everyone's schedule. So for us now, I'm thinking that this year, maybe we could invite some poorer families or people that are alone to have a Christmas meal at our home, because our tradition is shifting and changing. We'll still have the morning with our adult children, but then maybe we can open up our home. And it's something I've always kind of wanted to do in the back of my mind, but because I had the full responsibility of hosting the whole extended family, because they all have small apartments, it was something that I sort of couldn't do on Christmas Day. So that's what we're thinking of doing, and kind of looking forward to that and making the most of the change in traditions.
Yeah.
And as far as stuff goes, like, we also, because we lived in a trailer while we were building our house, and we moved, we had to move to a townhouse because there were delays, and it was December and the trailer toilet and water were freezing and so on. So we had Christmas in this townhouse when all of our stuff was in storage. So all we just had one garland on the mantle and like a nativity, and that's it. And we still had Christmas and it was still fine. We had our Bibles. We were good. We had each other.
Yeah. I think I remember one Christmas a few years ago, and it just, the way all our Christmas dinners at various families worked out, we didn't have anything scheduled for Christmas night. And, you know, growing up, Christmas night was always at my grandma's, turkey dinner, very traditional. And I think that year I was sort of scratching around the fridge looking for something to make, and I found hot dogs, and I was like, I can't make hot dogs on, you know, December 25th for dinner. That just seems wrong. And I said to the kids, hey, do you want hot dogs? And they're like, yeah. Right?
So I love hot dogs.
Hot dogs on December 25th. It's, that doesn't go against any religious practices. It doesn't, there's no Christmas rule book that was breaking some big important rule. And the kids loved the hot dogs. So I just think it's good to, great to carry on traditions that still make sense for your family, and also great to be open to flexibility and adjustments as life changes. And yeah, I think your idea of having some people over is so nice, because I always just, you know, you have this picture in your mind of somebody sitting alone on Christmas, and what a gift it is to be able to decrease that loneliness in people's lives just by reaching out. And, you know, in our current day and age, it's actually pretty easy to reach out to people or younger people who have their smartphones, right? Even just like sending a message to someone you know might be having a difficult season is such an easy small thing to do that could have a pretty big impact on somebody else. So again, I think it's just really important to like listen and be aware and sensitive to those people this season.
Simplify and serve.
Mm.
Well, on that note, I'd love to thank you again for joining us, and I'll be talking a little bit about your book before the end of the podcast, and I hope you have a lovely day.
Thanks, Rowan. You too. And Merry Christmas.
You too. Merry Christmas.
I just love Anne's wisdom and her authenticity, don't you? And what she said about serving reminds me of this quotation on Advent from Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa said, "At this Christmas, when Christ comes, will he find a warm heart? Mark the season of Advent by loving and serving the others with God's own love and concern." If you're looking for a children's book that models a child thinking of how to serve and give to others at Christmas time, you can get Anne Kennedy's book, The Bestest Gift, on Amazon.ca. So if you're not familiar with it, it's the story of a little girl who creates a Christmas wish list, as children do. But instead of asking for things that she can get for herself, she makes a list of things that she can do or share with others. And it rhymes and it has brilliant illustrations. And so I do recommend it. So you can get that on Amazon.ca. We do sell it here at Canadian Anne-A.com, but if you get it on Amazon, then Anne will benefit more with royalties, and I want her to because it's such a great little book. I will be giving it to all the children in my Sunday school class on Christmas Eve morning as well. I'll link it below. I briefly mentioned that there are two Advents. As we focus on Jesus' first Advent at Christmas time, I think the need to focus on the second one is being felt more and more as the world has become careening mad and stressed, as Anne Voskamp wrote. On that note, I want to leave you with a quote from one of my favorite poets, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Quote, "God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men."
Thank you so much for listening. You can find helpful links and show notes for this episode at our website, canadahomeschools.com. Please share this podcast with your friends and leave a rating and positive review on your podcast provider. This will help others to find their dose of inspiration and encouragement. Happy homeschooling, Canada! Hee hee!